This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. First of all, my dearest sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's good to see you all again, alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us all safe and sound. May Allah protect us all, inshallah. Okay, so the topic that I want to speak about today is, you know, living our life between the hope and fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because we find that a lot of people in regards to this matter have become quite imbalanced. Like, we're living in a time now, subhanAllah, where we find, like, in general, a lot of people don't want to hear any more about the halal and haram. You know, they don't want to hear about, they only want to hear things that makes them feel good, but they don't want to also hear anything that reminds them. So that's actually going down a dangerous path. And we no longer want to hear anything that reminds us. You know, we just want to avoid hearing, you know, anything that makes us slightly uncomfortable with ourselves. It's not something praiseworthy, actually. So that's what I'm going to mention to you, inshallah, today, a hadith Qudsi. It's a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that Allah ta'ala has said to show you the importance of having, you know, khawf min Allah ta'ala, having, you know, fear of Allah ta'ala in this dunya, because it's something that's very beneficial for a person, as long as it's a healthy type of khawf, a healthy type of fear of Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, as narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu in a sahih hadith in Al-Bayhaqi and Ibn Hibban, that Allah Azza wa Jal has said, وَعِزَّتِي لَا أَجْمِعُ عَلَى عَبْدِ لَا أَجْمَعُ عَلَى عَبْدِي خَوْفَيْنِ وَأَمْنَيْنِ لَا أَجْمَعُ عَلَى عَبْدِي خَوْفَيْنِ وَأَمْنَيْنِ I will not combine two fears upon my servant, nor two safeties. إِذَا خَافَنِي فِي الدُّنْيَا أَمَّنْتُهُ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ If he fears me in this dunya, then I will make him safe on Yawm al-Qiyamah. وَإِذَا أَمِنَنِي فِي الدُّنْيَا أَخَفْتُهُ يَوْمْ الْقِيَامَةِ If he feels safe from me in the dunya, then I'll make him feel fear from me on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So this is the reality, you know, having fear in this dunya from Allah Ta'ala, fear from his punishment in the next life, this is something beneficial for a person both in this life and the next. And when a person has that fear, Allah Ta'ala will not combine two fears on a servant. Like, if you fear Allah in this dunya, Allah will not cause you to feel fear on Yawm al-Qiyamah. But if you're from those people, may Allah protect us, who you just want to feel safe and happy with yourself, you know, no matter what you're doing, you just want to feel, you know, happy and not worry about anything you're doing, then may Allah protect us, this person who made them feel safe in this dunya from Allah, then Allah will make them feel fear on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And this is not something that we would want. Okay, so we've got to realize that, you know, having from the signs of a healthy heart, from the signs of having a healthy heart, is that is to have that fear of Allah Ta'ala. Yeah, so the sign of a healthy heart is to have that fear of Allah Ta'ala. Because when you think about it, fear is a great motivator. Like, if you don't have fear, how are you going to push yourself to stay away from the muharramat? How are you going to push yourself to stay away from sins if you don't have fear from Allah? And how are you going to push yourself to strive for the akhirah if you don't have fear from Allah Ta'ala? You don't have fear that you could be punished in the next life. So fear is a great motivator. It's not something, you know, as long as it's balanced. Because some people go overboard, which we'll talk about. But the problem we find, you know, as time is going by, we find a lot of people, may Allah protect us, where they don't even have the slightest hatred in their hearts for the munkar. You know, when they see something, they see a sin, they see evil being performed in the earth, they don't even have the slightest hatred in their hearts. And this is not the sign of a healthy heart. to not feel, you know, fear from Allah, you know, when it comes to seeing or, you know, being exposed to sins. It's not a sign of a healthy heart. And you look at what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us, man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadihi. Like, if one of you sees a munkar, then you should change it. He should change it with his hand. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ. And if he can't change it with his hand, then he changes it with his tongue. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ. If he can't change it with his tongue, then at least with his heart. At least hate it in your heart. وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفَ الْإِيمَانِ. Like, that is the weakest of iman, that you at least hate it in your hearts, subhanAllah. But we find that with, you know, a lot of people these days, they want to promote, you know, certain types of munkarat, certain types of sins and evil deeds, and they actually want to support those evil deeds rather than even hate them in their hearts, subhanAllah. So what is this showing us? If people are promoting and supporting sins, this shows that where is the iman in the heart then? If the weakest of iman is to hate that sin in your heart, then where does that leave people who are actually supporting sins and promoting those sins? And, do you understand, subhanAllah? So it's a dangerous thing that it's a dangerous level that some people have reached. So this is why it's very important to have this fear of Allah Ta'ala. Fear of Allah Ta'ala and fear of the punishment from sins is something that will protect a person and keep them safe in this dunya. And so this is why it's important for us to know, you know, to know what it does it mean to have this fear of Allah Ta'ala, and, you know, and how to develop this fear of Allah Ta'ala. It's very important for us to know this. There's a saying that was mentioned. It was said to Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, O Abu Sa'id, we sit with people who make us feel fear from Allah until we feel our hearts might leave our chests from fright. And so he said to that person, if you mix with people who make you feel scared and make you feel fear in this world until you reach the safety of the akhirah, that is better for you than keeping company with those people who make you feel safe in this world until you reach the fear of the next life. And this is what we find a lot of people now, you know, generally it's, you know, it's something sort of taboo to talk about. Like, we can't even mention about sins, for example. It's something becoming taboo to forbid the munkar or to talk about anything which has got to do with disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. You know, everybody just wants to hear, you know, things that makes them feel happy with the way they're living their lives, even no matter how far away they're going from the straight path. They just want to hear the happy words and the things that makes them feel good. But that's not something, you know, subhanAllah, we don't realize that's something that's not something good for you. That people just make you feel happy with yourself and they don't remind you, despite they can see a whole lot of things that you're doing wrong. Alright, so the sign of a healthy heart is, you know, if there's a healthy iman in the heart, like if you've got sincere iman in the heart, then that iman will repel sins. Your heart will be awake. And will be like a barrier towards this, you know, penetrate, you know, any types of sins penetrating it, and you will automatically, you know, repel against sins or munkar. Like Allah Ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Hujurat, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi. Allah Ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Hujurat, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. That Allah Ta'ala has made iman something loved in your hearts and has beautified that iman in your hearts. وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِصْيَانَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. So Allah Ta'ala tells us, and he's made al-kufr, he's made disbelief, and he's made sins, and he's made disobedience something hated in your hearts. Ulaika hum rashidun. Like they are the guided. These are the guided ones, that they have, you know, they have that healthy heart that repels kufr, it repels disobedience and repels sins. Okay, so this is what Allah Ta'ala you know, is showing us the sign of the healthy heart. And also, the other thing too is that the Prophet told us that that when a person is doing a sin, it shows that their iman has become decreased. When a person is doing a sin, it shows that iman has become decreased. Like, your iman is not complete while you're doing a sin. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he says, لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن. Like, that the zani, when he does zina, he doesn't do that while he's a mu'min. He doesn't do that while he's a complete believer. So iman goes out of his heart when he's in that state. And it's the same with any other type of sin. That iman actually goes out of your heart when you do sins. All right? So sins, we know, reduces the iman. And even beforehand, like when you had the evil intention, the iman's going down as long as you're still persisting to hope to do that sin. So fear, as I said, fear of Allah Ta'ala is what is going to protect you from falling into these sins, and it's what keeps the iman healthy. And this is the true iman, this is the true fear of Allah. Like, subhanAllah, like a lot of people, they mistake fear of Allah for example, getting tears in the eyes. You know, some people, they might, you know, for example, Ramadan, or, you know, if they go to Hajj or whatever, and they get tears in their eyes, they feel moved, you know, in those moments, that's very good. But what's more important than that is that those tears transfer into action. Not just you had those tears in Ramadan and you, you know, crying to Allah in Tawbah, but then after Ramadan, you go back to your same old life. Okay, so the true fear of Allah is what's translated into action, not just tears that come in the eyes and it's not translated into action, where that fear protects you from falling into sins, and that fear motivates you to strive for the akhirah and to strive for righteous deeds. And that's why Allah Ta'ala tells us that, that the only one who'll be reminded is the one who has true fear in their heart. Like when they hear an ayah of the Quran, when they hear a hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they will feel a movement in their heart. They feel the impact in their heart. And Allah Ta'ala tells us, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّ فَعْتِ الذِّكْرَ سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. So remind, if your reminder will be beneficial, سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. The one who has, you know, khashya in their heart, the one who has, you know, khawf from Allah Ta'ala in their hearts, they will be reminded. So if the heart is healthy, when it hears ayat of the Quran, when it hears reminders, you'll find that that heart will be moved. Alhamdulillah. Like if you come to a lesson and you feel your heart is moved, alhamdulillah, you can say alhamdulillah, that you still have, you know, your heart, there's health in your heart. Alhamdulillah. Not to say that we've got perfect hearts. We've always got to be working on ourselves, because easily our iman can go down, right? But the fact is, alhamdulillah, that we still feel something when we hear about, you know, Allah Ta'ala in the next life. It's a good sign for us, and may Allah keep our hearts alive, you know. So like I said, you know, one of the diseases, you know, that we're finding, it's becoming more and more widespread, unfortunately, even amongst Muslims, is that they're not having, it's like they've lost their fear of Allah, they've lost their, consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, the taqwa, so that everything, like there's no difference between the halal and haram for them. In a lot of cases, there's no difference between the halal and haram. You know, things that, like, if you go to normal societies in the Muslim world, they straight away would be against it, you know, against those sins. But we find a lot of Muslims in the West, we find that, subhanAllah, they're not having that anymore. Like, they're studying political sciences and stuff like that. That's making them, like, distort their thinking towards what is the halal and what is the haram. What is the munkar and what is, you know, what is the, you know, what is the ma'ruf? You know, what is the righteous thing we should be calling to and supporting? And what is the disobedience and the sins and the things we should be condemning, and we shouldn't be supporting these things, subhanAllah. So this is where people are becoming mixed up. And what does it show? It shows there's something very, very wrong in the hearts, right? So this is what we have to be careful of. And like I said, like it's all, you know, very nice. Like on social media, everything's all about, you know, Of course, we should always remind people that Allah, inshallah, loves them and that we give them hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all those things, but it needs to be balanced because, you know, Allah ta'ala in the Quran, He balanced everything. Like Allah ta'ala didn't tell us that doesn't matter what you do as a Muslim, you're going to heaven, you know, you're going to Jannah, doesn't matter what you do. Yani, if you look at the ayat, for example, look at these ayat, نَبِّ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورَ الرَّحِيمُ. Inform my servants that I am the most merciful and forgiving. But what does he say in the ayat after that? وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ. But also warn them that my punishment is also painful. So there's a balance, my dear sisters. It's not like we just give all the good news to people and doesn't matter what you do, as long as you're Muslim, you're going to Jannah and Allah will forgive your sins. No, you have to do something about it. You can't just be complacent with your life and leave yourself the way you are and not try to work on yourself, you know, not pray for weeks and just, you know, take it for granted that doesn't matter what I do, or I can, yani, go, you know, eat haram, I can earn haram, doesn't matter what I do, Allah's going to forgive me. Allah al-Ghafur al-Rahim. This is deceiving ourselves, okay? We have to have that fear. That fear will help to motivate us. Like, I know one of the greatest motivators that helped me pray my prayers on time was being concerned that, you know, not praying your prayers on time is one of the greatest causes, for example, to be punished. Like punished in the grave. Punishment in the grave for not praying prayers on time, on purpose, like purposely missing prayers. Okay, so, you know, when you know that you can be punished for these sins, that's one of the greatest things that helps you to restrain your actions and get yourself in order. Not just, you know, take it easy, oh, it doesn't matter, Allah's going to forgive me for whatever I do. That's not a healthy way you're going to give yourself a lot of false excuses like that. So we see over and over again in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has warned us to fear Him. Why? Because it's a healthy thing to fear Allah. وَإِيَّايَ فَارْهَبُونَ. You know, have fear from me. وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا. Allah warns you about Himself. Right? So Allah Ta'ala in many ayat, He's warned us about fearing Him. So we, like I said, now the important thing is we don't want to be too extreme in one or the other. Like, we don't want to be too extreme with hope, because when we, as we said, if we have too much hope in Allah without fear, then we become very complacent, easy on myself. Oh, it doesn't matter if I do this, doesn't matter if I do that, because Allah's going to forgive me. That's not healthy. But at the same time, some people go the opposite, where they're, you know, like, they have so much fear that they actually become frozen, like where they become paralyzed. Like they say to themselves, I've done so many sins, Allah can never forgive me. So what's the use of me trying? You know, look, I don't wear hijab, so I won't pray because what's the use? I'm a hypocrite. Like people, a lot of women say those things to themselves. That's also not praiseworthy. That's also the wrong approach to being balanced in your journey towards Allah Ta'ala. Like Ibn Qayyim Rahimahullah, he tells us that the sincere and praiseworthy fear of Allah is that which comes between a person and the maharim of Allah. Like, so the praiseworthy fear is what comes between you and what Allah has forbidden, right? But if it goes beyond that level, it turns into despair and losing hope. So if you go too far in your fear, you end up falling into despair and losing hope, like thinking that Allah can never forgive you. Which, how can you say Allah would not forgive you when Allah's mercy and His forgiveness is far greater than any sin you could have done? So don't look at the great sin that you have done. Rather, focus on the mercy of Allah. How wide is the mercy of Allah? Because basically when you say that Allah could not forgive you, you're underestimating the mercy and forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. You know, you're downplaying the ability of Allah Ta'ala to forgive your sin, right? So don't focus not on the sin, but focus more on the forgiveness. But we have to take action. We can't just automatically assume Allah's going to forgive my sin. I have to do the action towards, you know, seeking the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala, you know, by us, you know, repenting to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So there are some ways that we can check our hearts to see if we have fear of Allah, like if we have healthy hearts. And one of them is, for example, when you recite the ayat of the Quran, for example, the ayah I just recited, وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ. Like, and verily, my adab, my punishment is a painful punishment. Like, when I read an ayah like that, if I feel scared, you know, if it makes me feel a type of, you know, scare, you know, scared in my heart, that's a good sign. It means my heart is healthy, inshallah. The other thing too is when you're alone, especially when you're alone and you think to do a sin, you know, maybe you're looking at something or you're listening to something, then if you find yourself starting to think about Allah and remembering Allah's watching you, and that Allah could take you, call you to account for this sin right now, that Allah could even take your soul right now, that Allah could bring down a punishment on you right now while you're doing that sin, that's also a healthy sign. Okay? So what's not healthy is a person outside, for example, has tears and things like that, but inside the house, they have no problem with doing any types of sins when they're alone. So that's not the healthy. Obviously, that's a sick heart. May Allah protect us from that. Okay, so how to increase one's fear of Allah? How to increase one's fear of Allah Ta'ala? The main way is to be stuck to knowledge. Be stuck to the path of the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala and His deen. This is the number one way to increase one's fear of Allah Ta'ala. And how we know this is because if we look at what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he said, "Inni a'lamakum billahi wa ashaddakum lahu khasha." That I am the most knowledgeable from you of Allah, and I am the most severe from you in khasha. I have the most khasha of Allah. I have the most fear of Allah Ta'ala. So how much knowledge a person has about Allah Ta'ala and the religion, of course, if it's sincere for Allah, not just they got it to show off or something like that, but if it's sincere seeking knowledge for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, then this would have an impact on their khasha, their fear of Allah Ta'ala. And that's why Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. That those who fear Allah the most from His ibad, from His servants, are the ulama, those who have knowledge. So knowledge is the fastest route, inshallah, to increasing your fear of Allah. Why? Because you come to know Allah more, in a more deeper way. You know about Allah's commands in a more deeper way, the wisdoms behind His commands, about His punishments. You know more about the Jannah, you know more about the Nar, you know about Yawm al-Qiyamah, you know about the punishment of the grave and what happens to the soul as it journeys from this life. All of these different types of knowledge increases your fear of Allah Ta'ala. Okay? And more than that, you know? So in general, you find that those who seek knowledge, and so this is why we should be stuck to knowledge. As a Muslim, we should always have some sort of program of seeking knowledge, always being stuck to the halaqat, stuck to lessons, stuck to circles of knowledge in general. And Allah Ta'ala tells us that the reward, you know, He tells us, you know, the one who reaches Jannah safely is the one who had fear of Him. Like if we look at what Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Qaf, He says, وَأُزْلِفَتِ الْجَنَّةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ غَيْرَ بَعِيدٍ. That Jannah will be brought, you know, close to the mu'mineen on Yawm al-Qiyamah. هَذَا مَا تُعَدُونَ لِكُلِّ أَوَّابٍ حَفِيظٍ. This is what was promised to every person who was awwab, who was constantly, you know, returning back to Allah and was guarding the limits of Allah Ta'ala. مَنْ خَشِيَ الرَّحْمَانَ بِالْغَيْبِ. مَنْ خَشِيَ الرَّحْمَانَ بِالْغَيْبِ. The one who feared Allah in, you know, without seeing Allah. Without seeing Allah, they used to fear Allah. وَجَاءَ بِقَلْبٍ مُنِيبٍ. They came to Allah with a repentant heart. They came to Allah with a repentant heart. Udkhuluha bisalam. Enter Jannah bisalam. You want to enter Jannah with no problems? You have to have khashya min Allah Ta'ala. You have to have fear of Allah in this dunya. It's the only way to enter Jannah without problems and without hard times. Thalika yawmul khulud. This is the day which is ongoing. Lahum ma yasha'una fiha wa ladayna mazid. They will have everything they desire in it. And even more than that, even more than that, Allah Ta'ala, you know, they will see Allah Ta'ala. This is from the greatest reward in Al Jannah. May Allah Ta'ala not deprive us from that. So what we learn from these verses is that the way to enter Jannah, bisalam, is you have to have khashya of Allah Ta'ala. We have to develop it, and we have to, like, we have to nurture the khashya. We have to nurture the khawf in our hearts. Like, you can't just expect it to stay there. You have to constantly be trying to increase your fear of Allah Ta'ala and nurture it, because there's so many things in your environment around you that's desensitizing you. And that's going to, you know, and that makes it go down. Okay, so that's why, just to keep your heart alive, you have to be constantly trying to, you know, purify your heart and, like I said, nurture that fear of Allah Ta'ala in your heart, inshallah. So we need to realize that, you know, fear of Allah, there's different levels of fear of Allah Ta'ala. But at the same time, the other thing is that there are different types of fear of Allah as well. Okay, so there's different levels of fear of Allah. People's fear of Allah goes up and down, and people are on different levels of fear of Allah. But at the same time, the other thing is that there are different types of fear of Allah. So from the different types of fear of Allah Ta'ala, number one, there's the fear of the makr of Allah. The, how can I say to you, like the plotting of Allah Ta'ala. Like Allah Ta'ala says, أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ فَلَا يَأْمَنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Do they feel safe from the makr of Allah? فَلَا يَأْمَنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. No one feels safe from the makr of Allah except the losers. So we should never feel safe, you know, from Allah Ta'ala changing our condition. Don't ever feel safe, because once you do that, that's when you're in the danger zone. Like, you can look at how many people, for example, were enjoying all types of health and wealth and luxury and good times, you know, forgetting and living a life away from Allah, and then suddenly Allah takes those blessings away from them. That's what we're talking about here, that Allah can take your blessings away from you at any moment. So don't feel so happy with yourself. Don't ever let yourself feel proud of what Allah has opened up for you from blessings, because at any moment, Allah can remove those from you. May Allah protect us from that. So you find a lot of people after Allah, you know, they were great in the world, like people saw, looked up to them and thought they were so great, they became like nothing in this dunya. And after they had a lot of health, subhanAllah, Allah changed their condition and they had sickness and they were tested with sickness. Or after they were wealthy, Allah made them, you know, they found themselves destitute. You know, after they were living a happy life, they found themselves in a life of hard times and despair. SubhanAllah. So we have to realize that, you know, don't, like I said, just don't ever let yourself feel proud of yourself for what Allah has given you, or, you know, let yourself forget about Allah. Always be thanking Allah. Use whatever blessings Allah has given you to thank Him, because this is what protects you from the makr of Allah Ta'ala. But when a person, you know, takes the blessings of Allah, uses it for the haram, you know, and lives their life forgetting about Allah, this is where Allah Ta'ala, His makr can come down on a person. And this is why Allah says, فَلَا يَأْمَنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. So this is the first type of fear, having fear from the makr of Allah Ta'ala. We should, you know, never let yourself feel too relaxed that Allah can't change your condition at any moment. Then the next type of fear from Allah is the fear from the punishment of Allah Ta'ala in the next life. So this level of fear is also a proof and sign of how sincere a person is in their iman. Like, we should be concerned of how Allah Ta'ala can punish us for things we do in the next life, because, you know, like I said, the one who fears the punishment of Allah in the next life, this is the mu'min. The mu'min, the healthy heart of the believer, is the one who believes in the fire of the next life and protects themselves from that fire while they're alive. And they believe in the Jannah and they strive to achieve that Jannah in this life. And in a hadith narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, reported in Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that there will be tribulations that's going to come down on people like patches of dark night. in which a person will be a believer in the morning, and then when the evening comes, there will be a disbeliever, and there'll be a believer in the evening, and when the morning comes, there will be a disbeliever. And what is the reason? Because they will sell their religion for some gain in this world. That's the reason. Why will they leave Iman? Because they will be prepared to sell their religion for some gain in this world. And now we see how a lot of people may object us. People are going along, but then when something comes up where they could gain something from this dunya, you'll see how much they're ready to compromise their religion in order to gain that. Okay? So you've got to realize in this life, Allah's going to test you sometimes to see how sincere your iman is. Who do you love more? Is it this dunya thing or is it Allah and the akhirah that you want? So many times Allah's going to test you in that. He's going to see your sincerity. You know, how much are you ready to, like, are you ready to go for a bit of discomfort in order to buy the akhirah? Or are you the type that the minute, you know, a bit of discomfort comes your way, a bit of inconvenience, that you're ready to sell your akhirah for the dunya? And that's unfortunately a lot of people, you know, the minute that the money comes into the picture, or, you know, fame or power, those things, once they come into the picture, you find, subhanAllah, may Allah protect us, the person is in many cases ready to just, you know, sell their religion, compromise their religion, just in order to get that worldly gain. And so if it means that they, you know, give up wearing hijab, for example, or, you know, compromise, you know, their religion, doing something haram, you know, get into riba, you get a lot of people that go into riba, you know, these kind of muharramat, these type of forbidden actions, you'll find the minute that comes up that they're ready to, you know, to just give it all up for this game. So, like I said to you, the problem with that, it's showing that, you know, if you really had fear of Allah, if you had fear of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that would be the biggest preventer from you falling into that. Like, you'd be too scared because you know that, like, what if Allah takes your soul now? You know, what if you don't have time to repent? What if Allah doesn't give you a chance to live longer to repent to Him and you die in that state? So, you know, and subhanAllah, we have to realize, you know, the scary thing is to reflect about the hellfire as well. To reflect upon the hellfire is something that can help us have more fear of the hellfire. Like, subhanAllah, some of the scholars, they compared the fire to like a mill. You know, a mill, it's like where you get grains, you get tons of grains, and you put it into the mill and the mill grinds. Okay, the mill grinds up those grains. And so that's why the scholars, they compared the fire to a mill where thousands of grains are being brought, and so that mill is tirelessly grinding up those grains and it's waiting for more and more and more. So here, in the case of the fire, it's not grains. It's humans. It's jinn. Thousands are being placed into the fire. And that's why Allah Ta'ala, He tells us in the Quran, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمَ هَلْ امْتَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. On the day when it will be said to Jahannam, are you full? And the Jahannam will say, is there more? So that the Jahannam doesn't get satiated very easily. It wants more, it wants more. It's from its nature that it wants to be full. It wants to be full. To the level that, you know, the sides of the hellfire will be brought close together until eventually it will say to Allah, enough, enough by your glory and honor. So it's going to take a long time until the Jahannam feels full, but it's going to be even, its sides are going to be brought close together from how full it is, may Allah protect us, until it becomes satiated, until it becomes satisfied and calmed down. So this is why we have to, you know, we do have to keep on reminding ourselves, you know, as much as it might cause us a bit of discomfort to think about the fire of the next life, we do have to be worried and concerned about it. Like, we know ourselves how weak we are. Like, we go, we cook something on the oven and we get a small burn And how long does it take for that burn to go away? And you can't stand it. Like you can't even sometimes sleep. It's a little tiny weeny like oil burn, for example. And you can't even sleep at night because of it. And that's just one little part of your body. So what if it's more than that, my dear sisters? Like that's why we have to be concerned. Like Allah warned us why. From His mercy, He warned us about the fire to protect ourselves. He warned us from His mercy. Like He could have... Here we go. He could have not told us, subhanAllah, and we, you know, may Allah protect us. We wouldn't have been able to prepare ourselves if we weren't aware of it. And the other thing is too that to remind yourself as well that the fire of the next life, like, subhanAllah, it is 69 equal parts added on to the, like, the hottest fire in this world, right? The hottest fire in this world, the fire of the next life is 69 equal parts added on to the hottest fire of this world. That's how hot is the fire. Like, we can't send the fire of this world, and yet the fire of the next life is 69 equal parts added on to that. And the other thing too, it's not like a normal fire. It's not like a normal fire that we find in this world either, because the food of the people of the fire is fire. The clothing of the people of the fire is fire. Even the drink is fire, may Allah protect us. So it's not like a normal fire. It's not like a normal fire that we find in this world. So this is why, my dear sisters, having the fear of Allah Ta'ala, like I said, from the makr of Allah, from the punishment in the next life, this is something that is healthy. It's healthy for you. It's something that's going to push you. It's going to make, you know, wake up for prayers. You won't miss Fajr. If you're really scared from the fire of the next life, you can't sleep in for Fajr. You're too scared because you know that could cause you to be punished in the next life. Like, you waking up for your prayers, you praying your prayers on time, that's one of the greatest protectors for you from being punished in the next life, right? Also, another type of fear you need to have is the fear of the bad ending, the su'ul khatima, having fear of a bad ending, right? We should always be asking Allah Ta'ala to give us the good ending, to die on good deeds, not to die doing a bad deed, because if you die on a bad deed, you'll be resurrected with that deed. If you, whatever deed you're doing, like if you die, may Allah protect us, smoking a cigarette, imagine how embarrassing it would be to be raised up in front of your Allah on Yawm Qiyamah, still smoking that cigarette. Or taking drugs, or doing riba, or whatever sin you're doing, some people, may Allah protect us, like, alhamdulillah, like they look at haram, you know, in their internet or something like that. Imagine you died doing that and you raised up. How humiliating to be raised up on Yawm Qiyamah doing that sin and, you know, subhanAllah, that's how you'll be raised. So, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us, "Innama al-amalu bil khawatim," that the deeds are according to their endings. So the most important thing is how you end this life. But from the generosity of Allah to a believer, as Ibn Kathir says, is that whatever habit a person does, like whatever is your normal way of being, that Allah, inshallah, will cause you to end on that way. So that's why you find a lot of people, subhanAllah, like they used to always give sadaqah. You'll find in most cases, those people who used to always give sadaqah, you'll find that they'll just have come back from giving sadaqah and then Allah takes their soul, for example, in a car accident or something like that. Or someone else, you know, for example, a sheikh who always gave lessons, you'll find how many times you find they die, for example, giving the lesson or just after they gave the lesson. Or someone who used to fast all the time, you find that they died while they're fasting or they died just after breaking their fast. You know, that's from the generosity of Allah Ta'ala to a believer. Whatever righteous deed you used to always do, Allah will help you, inshallah, to die upon that righteous deed, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So whatever you die upon, you'll be, you know, basically you're resurrected upon that. So inshallah, if, for example, someone went to Hajj or went to Umrah, you know, they'll be raised up saying, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, if they died in ihram. You know, and we know that the shaheed, he's raised up with, you know, his the wounds still flowing and they smell like misk. You know, subhanAllah. So whatever, you know, this is how we know that whatever person died doing, they'll be resurrected doing that thing. So whether that's a good thing or whether it's a bad thing, but that's how the person will be raised. So you, obviously, think about it. If you live, generally speaking, if you're living the majority of your life upon the obedience of Allah, obviously, think about probability. Have you ever studied probability? Obviously, the probability of you dying upon a righteous deed is far greater than someone who maybe they only do something in Ramadan, the rest of the year they live their life away from Allah. Yani, what chance have they got of dying on a righteous deed? If only Ramadan they worship Allah and the rest of the year they don't bother. They don't bother praying. They slack with everything. And they're doing all kinds of muharamat, all kinds of sins. There's a high chance that person will die doing some type of sin. So that's why, my dear sisters, we have to always ask Allah Ta'ala for the husn al-khatima. Always ask Allah Ta'ala for the good ending. Because also it's also a blessing from Allah. It is a blessing, it's a mercy from Allah that a person dies upon a righteous deed. And at the end of the day, it's all under the control of Allah Ta'ala, isn't it? Like, it's all under the control of Allah that a person will die upon a righteous deed. So if we look at the Salaf, they used to have the greatest fear. They used to have the greatest fear regarding, you know, dying upon having a bad ending. They used to have the greatest fear from dying upon a bad ending. And, you know, just to give you a couple of stories, for example, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, and like, think about what he did in his life, what he achieved. We haven't even done this, like, 100th of what Umar radiallahu anhu achieved in his life, right? But when someone came to visit him and tried to give him good news of Jannah, like they're trying to comfort him and give him the good news of Jannah, the first thing he says is, "Wallahi, if I had a whole earth of gold, I would have ransomed myself from the day, for the day from the punishment of Allah Ta'ala before I see it." Like, he's so scared until the last minute of the punishment of Allah Ta'ala. So do you see, think to yourself, he's in the last moments of his life where a lot of people would just be saying, "Ya Allah, I've done what I can, take it easy now." But that's what, if you look at what their statements are, my dear sisters, you can see why they were so motivated in their lives. You can see why they achieved so much. Because right up until the last moment, they've got so much fear of Allah Ta'ala, so much fear of the punishment of Allah. And that's what was really motivating them to really push themselves beyond what most people can do. Like Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, when he was in the last hours of his life, he was actually dying from a plague. He said to those around him, "Has the morning come?" And so they said, "Not yet." So then after a while, he said again, "Has the morning come yet?" They said, "Not yet." And then they said, "You know, why are you asking about the morning?" He said, "Wallahi, I seek refuge of Allah from a night which its morning is going to the fire." Like, the sad thing is, look at how much they achieved, my dear sisters, and they are still worried about themselves going to the fire. Yet us, we're just thinking that the smallest thing we did, oh, like, I prayed my five prayers today, I must be going to Jannah. You know, I wear my hijab every day, I must be going to Jannah. That's what we think to ourselves. But here are these, you know, Sahaba who, how much did they achieve in their lives? And they're still worried that they're going to the fire. See, that's why they kept going. They never stopped until they met with Allah Ta'ala. They never became complacent with their deeds. So this is the difference we find between the people now and the people of, you know, the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the best generations is the generation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then those who come after them and those who come after them. And then as it goes by, the generations get worse and worse. You know, they had the true fear of Allah Ta'ala, and that's why they were achieving what they were achieving. So like I was saying in the beginning, the manhaj of the righteous believers is not to depend upon the mercy of Allah. Like, yes, we believe in the mercy of Allah. We have hope in the mercy of Allah. We have hope that Allah is going to forgive us, but we don't just become complacent and depend upon that. Okay? Rather, what we have to do is we have to strive for Allah. We have to work as hard as we can while hoping for the mercy of Allah in that. Right? So, But to just live your life missing prayers, being lazy with our fasting Ramadan, "Don't worry if I don't make up my days." Like, many sisters come to me, they haven't made up their days. Like, I'm not talking about breastfeeding and pregnancy here. I'm talking about just having menstruation days. They haven't made them up for like 10 years. You know, subhanAllah, like, or people who haven't paid zakah. Like, they've got enough wealth, they don't pay zakah every year. They just take it easy with themselves. Or they have the money, and they have the mahram, they have everything, they go on holidays to France and Italy and God knows where, and they haven't gone for Hajj. So what is that showing you? Where's your hope in Allah? Where's your fear of Allah? Like, Allah could take you before you get to do these things. You know, you die with debts to Allah. You die with debts to Allah if you haven't fulfilled these debts that you owe to Allah Ta'ala. You know, and then you have the other people who, like, they're just eating the haram. They don't care. They're not careful with their food. Or they're like, dealing with haram. They're cheating to get their money. They're, you know, some people are so scared about what they eat, but they're not scared about what they earn. They don't worry about if they're cheating to get their money. They don't worry about earning the haram. But they might, mind you, they're worried about eating halal. But they're not worried about where did that food come from in the first place. All right, so all of these things are indicating that we're not having enough fear of Allah. We're not fearing Allah's punishment. We're not fearing Allah's makr, that Allah could, you know, take us at that moment of being complacent and not being worried about, you know, not being concerned. So, okay, so Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, he said that there are people who have been destroyed by their false hopes of forgiveness. There are people who have been destroyed by their false hopes for forgiveness until they leave this world with no hasanat. They leave this world with no hasanat. They say, we have the best hopes in Allah, but they have lied. Because that's their excuse, they say. We have good hopes in Allah. We have husn al-dhan in Allah, right? But he said that they have lied. Why? Because if they truly had husn al-dhan in Allah, if they truly had the best hopes in Allah, they would have made their deeds best for him. If you truly had the best hope in Allah, you would have made your deeds best for him. You wouldn't have been so complacent and don't worry if I do the haram or eat from the haram or earn from the haram. Okay, you would have been trying to strive to do the best, to present the best deeds to Allah Ta'ala in the next life. So this is why, my dear sisters, that we need to be balanced in our journey back to Allah Ta'ala. This is the only way to be safe in this dunya and safe in the akhirah. It's only by being balanced between having hope in Allah, yes, but you have to balance it with that fear of Allah and not let your hope overcome so that you just keep on making false excuses to yourself for why you're not doing things that Allah commanded you to do, and you're not making false excuses for why you're allowing yourself to fall into the haram. Okay, this is the danger that we see a lot of people falling into today. So that's what I have for you today, inshallah.